outside taking a picture, and we're all talking there for a little while. And someone eventually said, "Why are we out here talking and sweating in the heat when we can be inside?" And I thought, that's a great question. And I think if we were at the park today, we'd probably be asking ourselves the same thing. Why are we out here sweating when we can be inside? And here we are inside for our worship service today. But I do want to continue our theme of talking about the body and connected, specifically looking at a body rooted in love. So you can turn with me in your Bibles over to Ephesians 4. We're going to look at verses 14 through 21 with that theme in mind, that idea of a body rooted in love. You know, our physical bodies, like plants, need to have a foundation or to have good roots. Otherwise, we can't move forward. We fall on our face. We're constantly on the ground. And the church, as a body, is like that as well. Its root system and foundation needs to be established deeply in love. So let's read Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. Paul writes this, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And that could be the sermon right there. I mean, some powerful images and passages in there. But, you know, I want to look at these verses in three sections today. As I look at these verses that, Paul is writing here, I see three different sections. And the first is verses 14 through 17. You know, Paul is saying that he kneels before the Father, right? The Father and Creator of every human, every family on the earth. And his prayer is that out of God's glorious riches, the body, or the people of God, would be strengthened with power by his Spirit in their inner being, their inner person, who they are, and for what purpose? And so that Christ may dwell in that space through faith. That is the goal of Christians, is that Christ would dwell in us. So Paul begins, and he's talking about this goal to have Christ dwell within the people of God. And then Paul gets more specific about this, okay? So the second section, verses 17b through 19, gives us insight into what happens when Christ dwells in the hearts of God's people through faith as he continues his prayer. And the prayer continues, right, by saying the body being rooted and established in love, which is our focus today. And basically that means that love is the center and dominant way of being among the people of God within the body. That is the way the people of God need to be with one another. And love, so glad you asked, I wanted to mention here, is willing the good for someone else. That's what love is, being primarily concerned with the well-being and good of someone else. It's not simply a feeling, which is how we often think about it, and certainly the feelings are associated with it, but it's a principle, a way of being, and it's action-oriented. Right? It's not just, I feel this way about somebody. No, I'm going to go and do some good for someone else. That's love. Again, its primary concern is the good and well-being of another person. And so Paul's prayer is that the church would be rooted and grounded in that idea, in that way of being, and that together, all the Lord's people, right, with that power, that they would be able to grasp, to understand, to have knowledge of, and experience the incomparable and immensely awesome, nothing higher, nothing deeper, nothing greater, love of Christ. But look at what he says, right? That the church or the body would have power together with all the people to grasp and understand that. And so you go back to the prior verse, that's what he's getting at. When Christ dwells in us, we come together with power and love one another so that we can understand Christ's love. That's what Paul's goal was for the believers in Ephesus, knowing the love of Christ. It's a love that extends beyond knowledge. He wants them to know it so well that they are filled to the full measure of God. And that's what that means, to be filled with God, is to be filled with the love of Christ. What a purpose, right? What a plan for God's people to be this way with one another. One Bible commentator had this to say about these verses. Paul here comes back again to the thought which dominates the letter. Where is that love to be experienced, this amazing and incredible love? We experience it with all God's consecrated people. That is to say, we find God's love in the fellowship of the church, in the body. John Wesley's saying was true. God knows nothing of solitary religion. No man, he said, ever went to heaven alone. The church may have its faults. Amen. Church members may be very far from what they ought to be. Amen. But in the fellowship of the church, we find the love of God. And in the two verses after that section, so this third section, we find some of the most inspiring and encouraging verses in all of the Bible. Right? These verses are... we have to see, are intimately tied with the prior section. Okay, the prior verse is the goal of the body and talks about the way the incredible goal is achieved. And then verses 20 and 21 indicates how this amazing goal beyond us is accomplished, right? By the unimaginable, unfathomable, indescribable, unbelievable, but you better believe it, power of God. Right? If Christ's love is so amazing, which it is, for that to be seen and accomplished among imperfect people, that's going to require a power beyond us. And so what Paul is saying is that it will be accomplished by the power of God working within us. What a plan. What a purpose. What an opportunity. You know, as I mentioned, I was upstate this past weekend. And actually, before I get into the story, I just want to clarify what upstate New York means and where that is. Because I got into a debate this past week with somebody who was clearly uninformed about where upstate New York is. So I just want to be clear before I tell the rest of my story where I was. So we are downstate, okay? Rockland County, Westchester County is downstate. Anything north of there is upstate New York. Okay, so you might have to clear that up with some New York City people and some Long Island people. I'm just saying, no disrespect, I'm just saying. But I just, you know, that's the line. So I was above Rockland and Orange County this weekend. But it's beautiful up there. I mean, we live in a beautiful place here, okay? Don't get me wrong, downstate, you know, we got some nice parks and nice places down here. But upstate New York is beautiful as well. Lots of trees around, lots of plants. And I was supposed to go over to my grandfather's house and help him clear out his garden. He had some weeds in there, and help him plant and things like that. And I'll just say this as well. You can pray for him and my grandmother. It's Gerald and Dorothy Green. They're, you know, having some health complications, so you could pray for them. But I was supposed to go over to their house and help him out with his garden. It didn't work out that way. But my brother was able to take on that task, and you know, it just happens to work out that way. I have an incredible knack for saying I'm going to do something, and then my brother comes in and, you know, takes over for me. So amen. That's just how it worked out. But I've done, you know, quite a bit of work in his garden and in my dad's gardens, you know, as I was growing up. And I love being in a garden and in that environment and planting and pulling up weeds. And, you know, as I was envisioning myself in the garden, I was thinking about plants. Of course, I was thinking about this idea, this sermon of being rooted and established in love. And when we think about it, and we all know this, however familiar you are with gardens or not, that the health of a plant, the foundation of that is based on how good the roots are and the health of the soil, right? If that's not there, ain't nothing coming out of that plant, right? Those beautiful cucumbers and squash and zucchini, and if there's no root system and it's bad soil, it ain't going to happen, right? It's got to be good soil. The roots have to be good. They have to go down, dig deep into that soil. And we understand that from a plant perspective. But the same is true for us as a church, as a body. You see, our roots as a body need to dig deep into the soil of love. You see, it's about love. It's always been about, always will be about, always has to be about love. And think about it. We could be rooted and established in a lot of things. Right? We could make church about this or about that. Or when we come together, it really needs to be about this or that. I mean, there's a million things that we could make church about. But it can't be about those things. It's got to be about love. That's how it all comes together. And to be primarily concerned with bringing about the good in someone else's life is what it means to be rooted and established in love. As we carry out our day, as we come together, as we think about one another, our primary concern as Christ's people needs to be about the good of someone else in the entire body. That's who we need to be. Let's be Christ's body, deeply rooted and firmly established in love. Now, we have to be careful and thoughtful and aware about the way we think about love, right? The world has a different perception of love. And a lot of us were brought up in that way of thinking about love. A lot of us are around in environments that think about love in a very different way. And we've got to be aware of that, right? The world's love is selfish and feelings-oriented, right? I feel good about this person. I love them, right? What can I get out of this relationship? I feel good. I love them. What can they do for me? That's often the way we think about love. But remember, that's not God's love, right? The love of Christ is selfless, principle-oriented, and action-focused. It's about doing for one another. It can't just stay at the feelings level. And as I mentioned before, of course, there's feelings, you know, that are associated in the, I'm not saying it's, you know, feelingsless or emotionless, but it's primarily selfless, principle-oriented, and action-focused. And so our love as a body must go deeper than just surfacey fellowship. I mean, I think if we asked many of us in the room, we would say, yeah, I love people. We talk all the time. We're in each other's lives. But are you going down deep, knowing each other's needs, knowing who each other are or is, and doing good for one another, meeting those needs, being primarily concerned about the good of someone else's life. You know, after service today, and, you know, going on throughout the summer, we could extend fellowship, right? We could fellowship all day with people and never really love. Don't let that be your existence as a Christian, right? Don't get to the end of your life and say, ah, wow, I fellowshipped a lot. I talked to people a lot, but never really loved. Don't let that be your situation. I think it's also important that we remember that a big part of love is working out difficult situations in the body. Okay? Right? We're a family. Stuff comes up in a family. We're imperfect people. We hurt each other. We offend each other. I'm not saying that's okay, but that's the reality. So what do we do with that? Do we walk away? Do we come in with a critical spirit towards people? Do I just cut people off? No! We cannot exist that way in this body. You got to see that your situation, if that's you, affects the whole body, affects the health of the whole organism. Right? We got to work this stuff out. We got to make that our primary concern. You know, and this is me. It's easy to love the people that I feel good about, and we should continue to do that. But let's also be as eager to work out and love the people that we have a difficult time with. That's who we need to be as a region. And when we do that, the health of the whole thing will grow. We'll be healthier. It'll continue to grow into a vibrant place. I mean, I think we have a vibrant place now, but that will even grow so much more. So let's be that body. Let's love deeper. Let's love better. Let's love authentically. And watch the way the health of our body grows. Here's what I want you to do right now from a really practical standpoint. So in your notebooks or on your phones, wherever you're choosing to take notes of every word that I'm saying in the sermon, right? Is that what you're doing out there? Or are you texting? So, no, I'm kidding. It happens. I may have done it once or twice before. Not when I'm preaching. I'm just saying when somebody else. Okay, where was I? All right, yeah, so take out those, you know, those notebooks. And I want you to write down the names of three people. Hey, think of a family member. Think of a spiritual family member. So someone, you know, here in the church. And then I want you to think about somebody that's a tough relationship for you. And it might be here, it might be at work, it might be someplace else. So I want you to think about these three people. And the first thing I want you to do this week is to pray for each one of these people. Start there. Pray for them. And then, and you can write down the dates, or if you want to pull up your calendar, you can do that now. I want you to identify three different days, okay, one day for each person, to bring about the good in those people's lives this week. And it could be a lot of different things. It might just be, I'm praying for this person. That's a great place to start. It might be, I'm just going to send an encouraging text. Or it might be, if it's a difficult person, I'm just going to strike up a conversation with this person and just check in and see how they're doing. It might be serving someone. I mean, it could be a lot of things. But I want us to be intentional and focused around this idea of bringing about the good in someone else's life. And again, the challenge, sort of the bonus challenge, is to really focus on that person that you have a hard time with, that maybe has offended you, that maybe has hurt you at some point. Because Christ was very clear about loving our enemies, right? Praying for them and loving our enemies, right? Our love needs to be complete or perfect. We're loving both our friends and people that we feel good about, but also our enemies. So make sure that you're focusing on that as well. I also want to take just a couple minutes to talk about the small groups that we're going to be implementing in the fall. So, you know, those of you that are visiting with us today, we've decided to restructure things a little bit, and we're going to be creating small groups in the fall. And we're calling them life groups. Essentially, their focus is that they're small groups of disciples of Jesus, and we're getting together, we're loving each other, and we're just trying to help people grow. We're trying to be in each other's lives, knowing each other, and helping each other grow. I just want to say a couple things about these small groups. You know, we've been training the leaders through the summer. We have another training next week. And their role is to give the group, to provide leadership, but to give the groups direction and to help facilitate the group. The responsibility of the functioning of the group lies on the group members. It's not just the leaders, right? That responsibility falls on all the group members. A lot of times it's easy for us to just rely on the leaders, but it's got to be a whole group effort. I also want to say that we're doing these small groups to help better root ourselves and establish ourselves in love. They're like little love groups is a way to think about them. You know, and as you come to these groups, as we come together, you know, loving each other sometimes might mean an encouraging word for someone in the group. Sometimes it might be relating to someone in your group. Sometimes it would be listening to someone in your group. Sometimes it would be teaching someone in your group. Sometimes it would be drawing someone out in your group or digging deeper. Hey, you said this, what, you know, what's really going on underneath the surface? Sometimes it will be challenging somebody in the group. Sometimes it will be serving someone in your group. Sometimes it will be believing in someone in your group and helping them to see themselves the way God sees them. But no matter what it is, no matter how the Spirit is speaking to you to work and be in that group, it's always got to be about love. That must be our primary concern. That is the spirit I'm asking you to bring into your group. I believe that your needs will be met in this group in various ways. But we got to come in with a mindset that how can I help meet the needs of the people in my group? That is how we become more rooted and established in love. And the reality is that if we really want to be the church, which is, I believe, who we really want to be, that's who I want us to be, and not just a social club, if we really want to carry out our purpose and live for something so much greater than who we are and not just go through the motions, then we must love, love, love. John 13, 34 through 35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So I want to conclude with, I probably should just stop there, but I want to conclude with Ephesians 3. Amen. Yeah, I appreciate that. I felt convicted by that passage as well. But I'll conclude with another convicting passage. It's the passage that we're focusing on today, Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen and thank you.